The Guru and the Chela by the Ascended Master Khatumi, June 1954. Chela. Beloved Master, why is it that so many earnest, spiritually minded men and women suffer financial lack and physical distresses? Should not these men and women be among the manifest examples of opulence and health? Guru. Beloved Chela, truly such individuals should be the manifest example of all that is beautiful, good, and perfect, not only for their own happiness, security, and well-being, but because such people represent us in the world of form. Those who rest smugly and complacently in their own willful pursuits of pleasure use just such an argument to discredit the earnest ones on the path. The words, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross," have been echoed through the centuries in one form or another by many spiritually sightless sons and daughters of men. One day in the distant future, such a challenge will echo through their own consciousness as well. To answer completely why such apparent contradictions between affirmed faith and works exist would require a volume of written words. However, for the comfort of the dear ones who writhe self-consciously upon their respective crosses and feel self-condemnation for such affirmations of limitation, I shall enumerate a few reasons as follows. First, each man who sets his feet upon the spiritual path must begin just where he is, not where he would like to be. Profession of faith, offers of service, and acceptance of service do not change the heritage of personal karma any more than application for a position in the world of form and acceptance by the employer change the qualifications of the applicant. The master, like the employer, accepts the candidate for service upon reasonable confirmation that a certain qualified momentum of talent is available for use in a given position. The master, like the employer, must rely upon the candidate himself to live up to his own greatest light, and then, through voluntary study and application, raise himself to greater efficacy in the endeavor at hand. The candidate for spiritual knowledge is, by the very reason of his present interest in spiritual study, usually one who has devoted a goodly part of his energies through the centuries to developing spiritual powers, oft-times to the neglect of his physical well-being, as well as his financial security. The law, being wholly impersonal, only releases through the consciousness that which is held in mind, thought, and feelings. If man has not contemplated beauty, opulence, and the various gifts of plenty in this world, there is no mold, no form, no channel through which primal life may flow to externalize these gifts in his experience. Thus, such an one must learn to balance his abstract devotions with practical mastery of the creative process of molding out of thought beautiful designs and energizing them with feeling, bringing them into form as ways and means of increasing the individual ability to serve the cause and the master. Even in our octave, we must design and form that which we desire before it is precipitated into our hands and use. Second, the student upon the path immediately comes under an accelerated action of the law of cause and effect, the energy returning to each one which he has sent out in previous embodiments as causes of imperfect nature must be returned to such an one to be purified, transmuted, and returned to God in the same perfect expression with which it was received from him. Thus, such students have much more to handle as their energies return than mankind at large, whose returning energies are held in abeyance, in mercy, until they learn the law of transmutation, the violet transmuting flame of mercy and compassion, Otherwise, they would be overwhelmed by the karmic retribution, and no spiritual advancement could be made in that earth life. The cosmic law is that no soul can receive more destructive karma back into his experience in one life than his developed consciousness can transmute and master. Let all who read take heart thereby, for no student is allowed by the karmic board to receive into his experience any appearance which he cannot, by his own light, transmute at the very time it is received. Therefore, in the experiences of life, rejoice that the law has felt your consciousness developed enough to receive calmly and transmute perfectly any shadows that appear temporarily upon the screen of your life. Third, every student is a part of the mass karma of the race, the nation, the planet, the evolution to which he belongs. The conscious students volunteer to accept the added service of dissolving much of this mass karma along with their own, even as Jesus assumed and transmuted much of the karma of the world through his experience at Calvary. Fourth, strong individuals, further, sometimes volunteer in a cosmic moment to stand as a spiritual guard around certain dedicated life streams, screening out the directed energies, visible and invisible, that would seek to destroy the heart center of such movements. Thus, beloved Joseph and Blessed Mary assumed much karma, acting as a guard around the sensitive energies of the pure consciousness of Jesus. Let no man look at another in judgment, for that one might well be working out the karma that would otherwise weigh heavily upon another soul. Fifth, the seeming happiness, security, and well-being of the individuals in the world is builded on good endeavors in the past. True, but it has no assurance of permanence until the consciousness can create and sustain such conditions at will. Those born to great affluence or physical perfection have earned that luxury and perfection, but while it is an unconscious enjoyment born of no conscious knowledge of the law of precipitation, healing, and peace, it is as fleeting as the sunshine that plays on the grateful man, but which at a passing cloud is gone. The man, unable to recreate the sun, being merely an unconscious receiver of a benefit enjoyed but fleeting. The individuals who have placed their feet upon the spiritual path will find no security, happiness, nor permanent peace in being the unconscious recipients of the gifts of Dame Fortune. They must become conscious of the powers of creation in the mental body, the powers of animation in the feeling body, and the powers of externalization through the coupling of practical, dedicated, channeled physical energies through the flesh. Then no outer person, place, condition, nor circumstance will affect their tranquility, security, and peace. It is such training that oft-times withholds temporary surcease, because the outer consciousness is so easily assuaged when it has received its desire. And unless the law itself is mastered, no further effort would be forthcoming by the individual until the gift so given was exhausted. Then the consciousness violently begins again the spasmodic endeavor to recreate a condition of ease in which to slumber on. Sixth, the soul of the average individual spends a good 100 to 1,000 years in the octaves of light between embodiments, which allows the individual to gather much reserve energy in the emotional and mental bodies, to work out much accumulation of discord in the etheric body, and to return to earth life refreshed in spirit. Those who are engaged in the spiritual push of the hour have sacrificed this sojourn in the heavenly realms and its consequent reprieve from the vicissitudes of earthly experience. Some of them re-embodying within a year after laying down the previous earth garment, a few even abandoning one body before its dissolution and accepting another. This sacrifice often is apparent in seeming lack of physical energies as well as nervous tensions. All of these factors are the results of conscious sacrifice upon the part of individuals who are looked upon by the very beneficiaries of their selflessness with scorn and question. Be unconcerned, for we were so treated before you.